You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
I'm joined by Brendan Moore, chairperson of South West Aboriginal Land and Sea Council in Western Australia. We are catching up as approval has been granted to redevelop Rottnest Island Lodge, with works set to commence in mid-2022. Just to put things in context, Rottnest Island was used as a prison for almost 4,000 Aboriginal men and boys from across Western Australia between 1838 and 1931. And the island is considered the largest deaths in custody site in Australia, also the largest known burial ground of Aboriginal people. Now, Brendan Moore, can you take us through the proposed redevelopment of the Rottnest Island Lodge and its implications?
I'm not across the contract details of when they start, but I do know that the old lodge was using the quad, which is where they housed Aboriginal men from all over the state. Up to 3,700 Aboriginal men were interned at Rottnest from 1838 to when the island finally was not used for a prison in the 1900s. They were all either interned in the quad or before that in other areas at the islands. And so having that removed from the lodge, because the lodge was using the quad for accommodation quarters, so it's a good thing that that's finally been, removed from use.
And it said that the approval is conditional on an Aboriginal cultural heritage plan for the site and using Wadjuk Noongar language.
Yeah, so the developments also set to develop an Aboriginal heritage management plan, so that the development is considering the history and importance to Aboriginal people from all over the state that were interned on the site. So there'll actually be a buffer between, so not only is the quad removed from being used as accommodation, but there's going to be a buffer between the quad and the new development. Whereas before, the quad was part of the development.
Yeah. When you say the quad, can you describe it for us?
It's similar to the roundhouse on the mainland, which isn't actually round. It's eight-sided. So it's this eight- or 12-sided octagon, or was it dodecahedron, shaped building with a well in the middle.
Yeah.
And all of the cells, which are only a couple of metres squared, they were used as lockups for the Aboriginal men during the night. And sometimes up to 15 men were held in a couple of square metres. And then during the daytime, they were often used as the labour force to build all the colonial buildings around Rottnest.
So it was like a prison camp?
Yeah, a prison camp.
And it's recognised as one of the largest deaths in custody sites in Australia, and the largest known burial ground of Aboriginal people.
Sure is. There's up to 370, plus or minus, because no one knows exactly, but Aboriginal men buried adjacent to the quad in an unmarked burial known as the burial ground. Up until, I think, the 1990s, it was used as the tent land. So these days, the government are not using it as tents, as people to camp on. Sally Morgan did a magnificent painting of this, showing people camping above all the buried bodies. But there's up to 370 Aboriginal men buried there.
Yeah.
On the island, so that's why it's one of the largest Aboriginal burial grounds in Australia. But I think we're not alone over here in the Noongar region of WA. All around Australia, all these islands were used as Aboriginal prison camps.
And this one is one of the largest. And now they say with the redevelopment, they're trying to make sure that there is an input from traditional owners, what would that input entail?
Yeah, so there's talk about remembering and acknowledging the history by having a name, using a Wadjuk Noongar name for the new development. There'll be a management plan, so I would imagine, I wouldn't like to preempt what the management plan is, but I imagine it would include a lot of information about the history and heritage of the place, and particularly in significance and importance to us Noongar and Aboriginal people from all over the state that were taken away from their communities and families and put on the islands. I mean, you've got to remember, this was during a period where, you know, people were being taken to the island. Even young boys were taken, you know, less than 10 years old, some I've heard, and taken there for, you know, stealing a sheep. You know, what about our stolen land? I mean, it was in an era where Aboriginal people were told you can't steal livestock, but meanwhile their land was being stolen from under their feet. This was the era in which the island operated.
Yeah. No, you're quite right. And this is about a story we were just covering today about the occupation and the wars on Wiradjuri land, because these wars started when settlers started taking the land and hunting grounds, sacred sites, and even traditional, you know, agricultural land where the traditional and rightful owners used to get their food sources. Everything was being occupied and taken by the settlers, and then what would they expect people to do? They would need it to survive.
Yeah, I mean, the new colonial laws outlawed traditional Aboriginal practices like burning. So if our ancestors were burning the land, which is part of the farming technique, well, they could very well find themselves out at Rottnest, because it went against the European farming system. So you've got this clash of laws. And, you know, and as we know, the myth of Terra Nullius survived over the West Coast until, like it did around Australia, until the Mabo case.
Yeah.
For a good 170-odd years over here.
Yeah.
But actually, when you dig deep, there's some good stories coming out. Like, there was one particular man, he was a Noongar, and he fell in love with an Aboriginal lady, and then, for whatever reason, I can't remember what he was interned in Rottnest for, but he was sent to Rottnest, and then when he came out, he managed to meet up with this girl and ends up having... I think 15 children or something.
Wow.
So there's some good stories of survival. I mean, it was a terrible place. As I said, over 100 years, more than 3,700 Aboriginal men were sent there, and about 10% of those, or 370, died and buried there from all over the state.
Would there be a ceremony just remembering them and honouring them?
Definitely, that's a separate project, and the state is coordinating a Wadjimup project with communities from all over the state, and that's going to be a project that takes a lot of time for healing and truth and justice.
Now, Brendan Moore, before I let you go, is there anything you would like to add, just maybe a closing statement or something, the most important thing to retain from this conversation, maybe?
Well, I think it's a development that people can find out more about. They can contact the island, and also the Rottnest Island Authority is doing a reconciliation action plan, which includes... just unveiled a couple of months ago, unveiled a massive public artworks at the gateway when you come into Rottnest Island. I think there's some intent to do the right thing and to acknowledge the suffering and history and healing that place needs to be.
Yeah, it's never too late to do the right thing, and obviously they're doing the right thing several hundred years later. Brendan Moore,
yeah.
thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Okay, thanks. No worries.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.